Welcome back, everyone, to MX Asian American. Today we have Joyce. You want to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Hi everyone, I'm Joyce. You want me to
Welcome
say
to
more?
the
I wasn't
show. I
sure.
mean, whatever else you want to add, it doesn't. You don't have to add anything if you don't want
Oh,
to.
okay, cool. I wasn't sure if this was my cue to like go into an introduction, but okay. So, my name is Joyce. I was born and raised in China, but I now live in Los Angeles. I just finished PT school last year at USC, and I'm now currently finishing up my orthopedic residency at an outpatient clinic in West LA. In my free time, I love going to live concerts, live shows, festivals, and recently just launched my own health and wellness business geared towards the raving community, which I'm sure we will be talking about later.
Well, thank you so much, Joyce, for coming on the show and talking to us. I'd like to start a little bit in the past. So could you tell us a little about young Joyce, how and where you grew up and how your environment was like?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in this city called Guangzhou, in China. I lived in this little, it's like a suburb outside of China. Went to elementary school there, but spent a couple years in Canada. So probably from like when I was 3 to 7 years old, we were in Canada. And after that, moved back to China, and then just grew up there up until college. And then came to the States for college. But I mean, I have a strong attachment to Guangzhou because that's where I spent, a lot of my childhood life and where I formed a lot of core memories. So it's always been a place that's super close to my heart. And I mean, I haven't visited since COVID, and I'm actually going back this August, which I'm really, really excited about, just to, see how the city has changed and go hang out with some and catch up with some old friends.
I'm curious how your transition sort of was like when you started college in the US, and also curious like how did you decide to go to college in the US, things like that.
Yeah, so fortunately, I didn't really have that much of a culture shock or too big of a transition, because I mean, it definitely helped that I spent a couple of years in Canada when I was younger. But when I went back to China, I was just in an international school the whole time. So like classes and everything was taught in English. I spoke English with all my friends, and I have friends from like all over the world. So that definitely helped expose me to more like Western culture. So that when I came to the States for college, it wasn't like there was no cultural shock. However, there was still like little, nuances with how you communicate and like lingo and customs and those things that I had to get used to, but overall it was not bad at all.
So while you were sort of deciding which colleges to go to, did you also like have in mind what you would like to pursue in college as well?
I am not that, I was not thinking that far, at least when I was in high school. So no, definitely not in the sense of like, oh, I know I'm gonna do like PT, and so these are the schools I'm looking for. I was definitely far more short-sighted than that. It was more so that I knew all of my friends wanted to go to America. So I was like, okay, well, I want to go to America, even though I'm Canadian, and so obviously my parents were like, well, you should just go to Canada. But I was like, no, I want to go to America where all my friends are. And my mom being, a typical Asian parent, she was like, well, you're not gonna go, I'm not gonna like send you to America unless you get into the top 30 schools, which honestly probably is more lenient than some other families. But that's kind of the options I was given. So when I was deciding schools, I was like, all right, well, I guess it just everything has to be top 30. And so William and Mary was my undergrad, and that's the only school that I got into that fit her standards. So I was like, well, this makes it easy. Well, that's the place I ended up going to.
I love how your mom was like, Only top 30.
I know, right? I'm like, okay, like even 31 is not okay. I mean, I got in, so I made it. But yeah, definitely when I was in school, or even in high school applying to colleges, I wasn't looking at specific majors or anything. It was just like, what can get me to America?
So while you were at Williams and Mary, did you have any did you have a moment where you were like, oh, maybe I want to go down this career path? Or what made you decide to pursue PT?
Yeah, so I was always like super interested in the human body, like super drawn to it. Because I grew up, I wasn't active, super active like growing up, but definitely in like middle school, high school, I got more into like fitness and working out and stuff. So I've always just been interested in the human body. And then in college, we had human anatomy courses. So I wanted to sign up for that. And then there was a human anatomy lab where you go in and dissect cadavers. And I thought that was super cool. So I signed up for it and started dissecting cadavers in freshman year. And I was like, oh, this is super cool. Like seeing how all the muscles and tendons and everything, how they're all connected. So naturally, I was like looking into getting a kinesiology degree. And then I was like, well, what can I do with a kinesiology degree? So then I Googled it and it was like PE teacher or like a physical therapist. And I was like, okay, well, that doesn't sound too bad. So that's kind of how I ended up here. I also knew that I didn't really want to work like a desk job because I wanted to be more active. So those were kind of my motivations. But now that I've been in the industry for a couple of years, I'm definitely grateful for choosing this path. There are definitely harder aspects of it, such as, patient care, just dealing with people's health can be difficult at times, but it also opened my mind to like the state of the healthcare industry, of how people view health and wellness. And so I know in the long run, this is going to be something that's good for me in terms of preserving like my own health and longevity and stuff like that. So in the end, it worked out in my favor.
Yeah, I think so too. I love that you just found this class and like dissected cadavers. I think
I
that would have been
know.
really cool if I had the chance to do that.
Yeah, I feel like most people get like creeped out, but I'm like, no, this is cool. I
You're meant to do this.
know, I was. It was meant to be.
So then after your undergrad, did you, not sure how like a traditional track or conventional track works, but did you have to go to something that's similar to med school in order to get like certified or like post-secondary education for becoming a physical therapist?
Yeah, so you have to go to grad school, like physical therapy school, and that's 3 years. So after I graduated undergrad, I graduated a semester early, so I technically had like half a year kind of as like a gap year. But then I went straight into PT school. So PT school is 3 years. I'm not sure how long med school is, but I know residency for med school is required for what I'm doing now. So I'm also doing a residency, but it's more like an elective. So once you graduate PT school, you're and you pass the boards, then you're licensed to treat. But there's other residency programs who that people join if you wanted to get 1 more year of mentorship and just refine your skills a little bit more. So that's what I'm doing right now.
I see. And you graduated, you know, the top 30 schools in US a semester early. You gotta tell that to your mom.
I know my mom was, she was like, okay, good for you.
So then now you're in this residency sort of. Could you tell us a little bit about the idea of your side project? The physio raver, I think. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, the physio
Yeah,
raver.
could you tell us about like how what influenced you to start it or like how the idea came about?
Yeah, so how it's a long story, but how the idea came about is I just with the year that I've been working as like a licensed physical therapist and the couple of rotations we had to go through while we're students, I'm kind of seeing more and more of like the what real life looks like in terms of like, you know, healthcare and like the direction of healthcare it's going in. So I'm not sure if this is, I think more and more people are talking about it, but there's definitely more of like an increasing trend and narrative that, you know, healthcare workers work super long hours. They have to deal with a lot of patients just because like insurance rates are, they're like reimbursing lower and lower. So in order for clinics and for healthcare workers to sustain a salary, you just have to keep squeezing in patients. And then at that point, you know, your quality of care decreases, your time spent with patients decrease. So all these factors factoring in together just leads to suboptimal outcomes, and clinicians are just, you know, more and more burnt out. And so even with just the 2 years that 2-3 years that I've been exposed to this, I'm already feeling some, you know, some signs of just being burnt out. And looking at, you know, the vision and trajectory for my life, I know I want to travel, I want to see the world, I want to have a flexible schedule. And given the just state of the industry and a traditional physical therapy job, like as a PT working at a designated clinic, I know that it doesn't align with my goals. And so I know I needed to do something about it to get myself out of this. I know that I still love treating patients. I love interacting with people, and it's super meaningful that your care and your efforts that you put into getting someone better, it's super meaningful when you see that there's, you know, you can actually make a positive impact on someone's life. But I wanted to do it in a way that was sustainable and that just aligned with my own goals. So I knew that I had to do something different. And so as I was coming up with ideas, I was thinking, well, I love going to festivals. Like I go to probably 1 or 2 shows a month on average. So it's like it's where I spent all my money on. And so I'm like, well, physical therapy is, you know, one of my passions. Going to festivals, going to live concerts is one of my passions. Why don't I just combine them? So that's kind of where I came up with this idea. And you know, you need to be healthy to rave and to go to festivals. Like people really underestimate the physical demand that you're putting on your body when, like, for example, for the traditional population, you're just sitting at a desk 8 to 9 hours a day, and then you don't exercise. And then all of a sudden, every couple months, you're going to go stand for 3 days and dance for 3 days straight with like no water, like under the sun. And it's actually super physically demanding for the general population. And so it's something that I think is not talked about enough, but also just a gap in the industry that needs to be filled. And so this is kind of where I come in.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for sharing that. And I totally like hear what you're saying about like burning out at your job and like even the physical and emotional demands like that your job entails. Really, a lot of people don't see that. Being like adjacent to a lot of ravers, I'm not a raver myself, but you know, a lot of my friends are, and I do know, like, I mean, EDC is happening right now, right?
Yeah.
While we're recording, all of my stories just
about EDC.
And yeah, everybody tells me like how tiring it is. It's like long, long hours of just standing and like jumping, and definitely hard on your knees. I have really bad knees.
That's something I hear about a lot. People are like, my knees, my back just hurt like by the end of a race. I'm like, well, come to me. I'll fix you.
Yeah, and that you definitely have to keep yourself active. And sort of like, you know how you like prep for some like big lifting events? This is kind of like prepping for a rave.
Exactly. But,
like, every day. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's like that's an analogy I like to use too. Like, well, you see how people normalize prepping for marathons. You don't just go run a marathon every like couple months without any prep. So it's kind of like the same thing with festivals.
No, yeah, that makes total sense. So when did you sort of launch this initiative, and how has it been doing so far?
I launched it in January, like January 2nd, January 3rd. And it's been going really well. It's definitely difficult and very time consuming starting your own business while you're in residency, because residency is already super demanding. But I knew that I wanted to have something concrete built out before I was done, so that I knew that I had this go I would have something going for me. But it's been going really well. Definitely picked up some clients, and they're all doing really well. And the best part about this is that it's all people that I want to work with. Like, I get to choose with who I want to work with too. It's not like, in a clinic where they just schedule patients with you, and there are good patients, but there are also patients that, you see their name on the schedule and you're like, ah, oh, it's gonna be a 12-hour kind of situation. So the good part about running, starting my own business is that I don't have to, I can pick and choose. Like, I don't have to treat everyone that comes my way. And we all have this common interest of music. So that's super cool. And the other kind of target audience within like my niche isn't, it's not just ravers, but also like shufflers, shuffle dancers, and DJs. So I have a couple shuffle dancers right now as clients, and it's just super, super fun getting to work with a population where I really, really wanted to work with. And I've been getting a lot of support from people as well, of people just, DMing me and saying it's just super cool what I'm doing and super excited about where this is going to go. I've had super amazing opportunities like this one, to go on a podcast. I've been asked to go on a couple other podcasts, which is just super cool, because it's like, this is, I definitely before launching had my doubts, oh, is this even something that people need? Or like, are people even going to care? But I've been getting a lot of, positive support. And in the past, my 5 months now, 4.5 months, I'm almost at 1,000 followers on Instagram, which is crazy. Like, for a new like launching business, knowing that there's like almost 1,000 people who support what I'm doing is super cool.
Wow, no, that's amazing. And I think that just shows like that you really hit I guess there's a, I don't know how they call it, there's a market
Market.
there for this, yeah, specific niche audience that you've definitely found and are like catering to. So that's really cool. Do you have any sort of like near future or future goals? I know you're still in the residency, you must be like busy as hell.
I'm almost done. I am counting down the days. I have 6 more weeks left, so I'm super close. I know I still have, so for residency we have to write these like long research papers. Like, you have to write three of them,
Oh
and it's like a practical where people like come watch you treat a patient. So
no.
I
No.
know. But I've done two already, so I know how it goes. I
Okay.
just have one more I
All
have to
right.
do before I finish residency. And then, so that's like the very near future of what I'm doing. And moving forward, like goals for the Physio Raver, I just want to keep building clientele. Like, now that I'm kind of off residency, I want to make sure, I get myself out there, people know who I am, and just getting more clients would be good. But kind of a goal I have for myself in the long run is, I've been thinking about this for a while, and I put it out in the universe, but kind of as like a somewhat of a sponsor for these festivals, but more on like the health and wellness side. So all these festivals have sponsors from, like energy drinks or like liquid IV or stuff like that. But I want to be like kind of like the health and wellness aspect, kind of like a sponsor where, for example, maybe next year at EDC, like I'll be able to set up like a tent or a booth, to kind of preach and educate people on how to take care of their bodies. Maybe have a couple treatment tables, like, if people like sprained their ankle or had back pain or something at the festival, they can come to my tent and then I can show them a couple exercises they can do or do a quick assessment. So that's like something that I want to be able to do eventually, is to establish myself enough to have that kind of a branding that I can present at different festivals.
That would be super cool to do, I think. Yeah.
I'm putting it out here now so that in a year I can tell myself that I've achieved these dreams.
Accountability. Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you so much again, Joyce. And just rounding out the episode, as a physical therapist, what do you think are some of the most common, like, I guess, like, pains that people experience, and any, like, general advice for people?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a hard question to answer because it really depends on the population. Like, for at least my clinic that I'm seeing right now, they're more geared towards like the older side. So you have a lot of like osteoarthritis or like tendon kind of issues, like degenerative kind of issues. Depending on the clinic you're at, if you see a more active population, you might see a lot of like ACLs, ankle sprains, stuff like that. So it really depends. And for my own business, I'm seeing a lot more kind of back pain, knee pain, especially with shufflers. It's a lot of hips, foot and ankle, knees kind of issues. So it all depends. General advice I would have for people is to not take your body for granted. And to start, you know, having more awareness of how important it is to take care of your body. I think working as a physical therapist and working with an older population helped me more in the sense of kind of realizing, you know, some of the consequences of not taking care of your body. Some of the patients who come in, you know, they have chronic pain or a lot of degenerative issues, and treating them kind of helped me and motivates me to stay on top of my health. And so that's kind of my advice to everyone. It's never too late to start taking care of your body. But the biggest thing is that we have to form like good habits. So you can't just say like, okay, well, I want to start taking care of my health. I'm going to go gym like once every month. Like that's not going to do as much compared to if you actually formed a good habit of even going to the gym or like going on a walk 10 minutes a day. So I think that's the biggest advice I can give people.
I love how like, because that you're treating like the older population, that you're sort of seeing like the importance of taking care of your body and like spreading that awareness to other people as well. But yeah, thank you so much again, Joyce, for coming on the show. Where can listeners find you or connect with you online?
Yeah, thanks for having me. People can find me on Instagram at @thephysioraver.
Awesome. And I'll also link it in the show notes as well. Thank you again, Joyce.
Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun.